Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 16th day of May, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Call. And to some extent, it's kind of tough to know where to start today. We've done the border invasion, although there's, of course, a whole lot more on that front. And there's the other side of that coin, the continuing and attempted coup, ditto. Both of those will no doubt continue until they reach some kind of a climax. We can probably guess what that means. But let's start here, because this one's a bit tougher. When it comes to ramifications that probably aren't obvious, total catastrophe, says a piece from Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog. Well, in this case, the total catastrophe has to do with U.S. agriculture, including first corn production, where he says 30%, and that's all, of U.S. corn fields have been planted so far. But the five-year average is well over twice that at 66%. What that means? 2019 is turning out to be a nightmare that never ends for U.S. agriculture. Thanks to endless rain and unprecedented flooding, perhaps even having to do with weather modification, you're not afraid to be called a conspiracy theorist, host interjects here. Fields all over the middle part of the country are absolutely soaked right now, and that's prevented many farmers from even getting their crops in the ground. I knew this was a problem, he wrote, but when I heard that only 30% of corn fields in the U.S. had been planted as of this Sunday, I had a really hard time believing it. But yep, he confirmed it. That number is 100% accurate. And at this point, corn farmers are being pushed up against a wall because their crop insurance final planting dates have either already passed or are coming up very quickly. And in addition, for every day after May 15th that corn is not in the ground, and that was Wednesday, farmers are estimated to lose about 2% of their total yield. Unfortunately, though, more rain is on the way, and it looks like thousands of corn farmers won't be able to plant their corn at all this year. And it's no exaggeration, he says, to claim that we're facing a true national catastrophe. Now, at this point, I want to pause, folks. As we go through the rest of this, I'll point out to you up front, and sadly, Snyder doesn't, that of the corn crop in the United States, well over 90%, probably 95% at this point, is genetically modified frankenfood. A lot of that, of course, gets burned up, which is probably the best thing to do with it, but not economically productive, in the form of subsidized, politically correct ethanol. So, for starters, if there's any good news here on the energy front, it's that, well, it won't cost the economy anything to not have something which basically consumes as much energy to grow than it produces back anyway. Here Snyder produces some numbers from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, SIC, and the Corn Belt Heartland, like Iowa, which is 48% planted as opposed to a five-year average of 76%, and that's best on the list. Minnesota, only 21% planted, and that's way under their five-year 65% average. But North Dakota and South Dakota are even worse, coming in at 11% and 4% respectively, and that's way, way under their typical average of being about half planted by now. The situation in soybeans, which are perhaps one of the worst of the genetically modified Franken crops, way over 90% of the U.S. crop is GMO'd, and a lot of nutritionists, for a number of reasons, say you shouldn't eat the stuff anyway. And I'm sure if I had been on Twitter or to Facebook, they'd have banned me for saying that just now. In any event, though, the Ag Department and Snyder note that the soybean crop's only 9% planted thus far, behind the five-year average of 29%, so they have more time to recover, but they have other problems besides the toxicity of their crop, from trade wars to soil nutrients and moisture levels. In Illinois, for example, moisture levels in the soil are in the 90th to 99th percentile statewide. In other words, the entire state is completely and utterly drenched, and as a result, very few Illinois farmers have been able to get either GMO'd corn or soybeans into the ground at this point. Arguably, worse even than the Dakotas. And no doubt that's true for the small fraction that plant the real stuff still as well. Now, here's one of the interesting side notes. Normally, if corn farmers have a problem getting their GMO'd corn in the ground, well, they just switch to GMO'd soybeans instead. But thanks to the trade war, soybean exports have plummeted dramatically, and the price of soybeans is the lowest that it's been in a decade. Some of us suggest there might be people waking up to the food value of these things as well. But thanks to information control in the major markets, which still try to ignore there's any difference between the real stuff and the genetically modified varieties, those figures and the effects are much harder to take a look at. But as a result of all of that, there's little if any profit in even growing soybeans this year, says Snyder. Which might appear to be a bit of a silver lining on one hand, but on the other hand, it represents a whole lot of hurting farm families, and of course, much higher food prices trickling on down, and a whole bunch of follow-on effects from turmoil in agriculture to other effects that'll ripple through into recession or worse. Especially since there's scant hope for sales to one of the formerly biggest buyers, China. Says the story, if the wet conditions persist, many farms aren't going to be able to plant crops at all this year, and sadly, global weather patterns continue to go haywire, with much more rain forecast to come to the middle of the country starting on Friday. Concludes Michael Snyder, we've never had a year quite like this before, and U.S. food production is going to be substantially below expectations. And hey, folks, he didn't even mention California now, did he? Bottom line, get ready for much higher food prices and a tremendous amount of uncertainty in the months ahead. Even, he says, worse than I thought. It's truly a major national crisis, and it's just now getting rolling. From genetically modified Franken crops that won't get planted, let's go next to this, and I'd call it related story, courtesy of Mike Adams and Natural News, except where they've already been banned. Would you believe it begins that Bayer, which purchased the satanic Monsatan a while back, has discovered a black ops division run by their satanic stepchild and shut it down, while simultaneously, they say, initiating an internal investigation as law enforcement prepares criminal charges against the chemical giant. Did you get all that? Well, it says for over a decade, Monsatan, no wonder they changed the name, because I consider that that's the correct pronunciation, has been engaged in building and maintaining hit lists of journalists, lawmakers, and regulators to be taken out if they dare to pose the evil agenda of GMOs and toxic glyphosate weed killer chemicals that now inundate the entire world's food supply. Any influential person who opposed the Monsatan agenda was subject to one or more of the following, says Adams, and he ought to know. Attempted bribery, death threats, intimidation, character assassination through well-funded negative PR campaigns, defamation via coordinated Wikipedia attacks run by Monsatan operatives, career destruction, that goes without saying, I guess, such as getting scientists blacklisted from science journals, sick, and, of course, being doxxed, having their home addresses published, and their families and co-workers threatened. In other words, continues Adams, Monsatan has been running a black ops division for over 10 years, spending perhaps $100 million or more on efforts to silence, destroy, or even assassinate anyone who interfered with the agricultural giant's market dominance, and, of course, their attempt to poison the world. I put that last part in there. Now, though, the criminal mafia activity that Monsatan has carried out for years has finally been exposed as law enforcement closes in on the crimes of this evil agricultural giant, now owned by Bayer, the former IG Farben, too, if you remember your Nazi history, which appears, at least, and some of us but have our doubts, to be making an effort to clean house and end the Monsatan crimes that targeted journalists, lawmakers, and regulators with all of those intimidation campaigns. I suspect, folks, that losing 3 out of 3 major lawsuits, the last one to the tune of $2 billion, you heard that right, billion with a B, of punitive damages to the evil corporation, haven't helped the situation either. Because juries seem to also suspect, with no shortage of evidence by now, that Monsatan covered up evidence of the toxicity of glyphosate and kept on doing what they were making so much money doing, regardless of the effects on innocent people. Here's the story courtesy of Reuters. Quote, French prosecutors said on Friday they'd open an inquiry after newspaper Le Monde filed a complaint alleging that Monsatan, acquired by Bayer for $63 billion last year, and that's turning out to be a real losing acquisition, had kept a file of over 200 names, including journalists and lawmakers, in hopes of influencing positions on pesticides. And this hit list, as they called it, of journalists and lawmakers, was directly translated into action to intimidate, threaten, or bribe these individuals, just as happens in the United States. In fact, a Monsatan spokesperson now confirms that the so-called Monsanto Mafia used the list to take out anyone standing in the way of their agenda. Quote, there have been a number of cases where, as they would say in football, not the ball was played, but the man or the woman was tackled, admitted Matthias Berninger to Reuters, the head of public affairs and sustainability, sick, at Monsatan. Furthermore, Berninger went on to admit that Monsatan collected, quote, non-publicly available data about individuals. Wonder if there's a two Facebook, Twitter, and Gulag connection here. Nah, who could imagine such a thing? Maybe it's just big evil tech SOP, and then use that. Bear, though, at least went on to say that they're now apologizing for the behavior. Given that resurrection or even restoring a bit of what they've already destroyed is pretty hard. Mike Adams, for his part, noted that over the last decade, he believes he's been personally hunted by Monsatan-funded black ops teams who intended to destroy, he says, quote, my credibility and physically harm my person in order to silence my public criticism of Monsanto and end the publishing of his website, MonsantoMafia.com. Another one, GMO News and Glyphosate News, as well as dozens of other websites that Monsatan didn't want to see published. He goes on to say that Bear is welcome to reach out to him. He would like a genuine attempt to clean things up and a public apology, and says our attorneys are also initiating contact with Bear's legal team to initiate discussions. But Bear, at least, has gone public and said on May 12th they're openly supporting the criminal indictment of Monsatan operatives who ran their black ops division, saying, quote, Bear will fully support the public prosecutor's office in France in its investigation. And then they basically admitted most of the things that Mike Adams has already outlined. I do like Mike Adams' summary. He said the following, and I'll read it verbatim in this case. Quote, Monsanto was run by some of the most evil, criminally minded people in the history of the world. These people, I believe, are directly responsible for acts of extreme violence, both online and offline, that specifically targeted Monsanto critics like myself. They belong behind bars, and it looks like Bear may actually be willing to help put them there. Yes, he said, it's time for Bear to close this chapter on the, and this time I'll pronounce it correctly, Monsatan era of disinformation, destruction, and death. It's time, he concluded, for Bear to come clean. Now, folks, I agree as far as it goes, and Mike obviously has a lot of skin in this game, but I do have to ask another question. Given that so many of us knew the level of toxicity of glyphosate, even though it's taken a long time, just as it did with cigarettes, to finally prove how much death and destruction was associated with products like this in court, and yes, they knew about all of that and more, and yes, they covered it up. So here's the question I have to ask. You would think that one of the world's biggest chemical companies, the former IG Farben, now connected directly to Bayer, would have known, or the legal term, knew or should have known what they were buying for $63 billion. It's called due diligence, and the question, of course, is, why didn't they? Or did they? Isn't there some culpability in that, too? And for crying out loud, now what are they going to do about it? I'd like to see the whole world be informed, you know what, all this genetically modified Franken food, including Franken corn, Franken soy, Franken beets, and all the other Franken stuff with the Terminator genes in it that we've been pushing on the entire world, are straight out of the pit of hell, and we repent. Oh yeah, sure. And the Whoremeister James Comey, along with Clapper and Brennan, are no doubt going to fess up any day now and admit that they covered for Hitlery. Committed a little bit of treason and certainly tried to undermine an election via a coup. No doubt she and Bill will get religion too and repent for all of their crimes. Yeah, sure. But don't hold your breath, folks. So I guess on that note, we do need to return to the various invasions within and without. Let's start with out from the south, where even a few former Obama-era officials are admitting things are worse than they've been telling folks. Former Obama Department of Aktung Homeland Security Jay Johnson warned on Wednesday that the U.S.-Mexico border issue is, quote, very definitely a crisis. Apprehensions he saw at the border back in 2014 were just a fraction of what we're seeing today. Duh. And that everyone should be focusing on a solution to address the issue, because he's worried that the nation's political climate, yeah, could deter a helpful solution. And when you see the solutions that are being proposed, I think that's pretty darned obvious. From there, a case in point, on to Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and his bill unveiled Wednesday that would end asylum claims from Central America at the border. Nothing here about Syrians, Iranians, other Mideasterners, Africans, and others who come across, then go north, and then come in, and return unaccompanied minors to their home countries. A targeted effort, as he calls it, to tackle the escalating migration crisis. Quote, this is a nightmare for smugglers, claimed Graham. This is a godsend to stop the humanitarian disaster. Graham's bill, says a piece from Fox News, is designed specifically to deal with loopholes. Well, some loopholes, as we'll will see, certainly not the big ones, that he says are encouraging migrants from Central America to make that treacherous journey north and bring children along with them. In particular, he pointed to the 20-day limit for authorities to hold unaccompanied minors and their families once they do successfully get into the United States and the gravy train begins, before having to release them into the homeland. His bill would extend that time from 20 days to 100 days to help allow claims to be filed before families are released into the U.S., and it would also add an additional 500 immigration judges to deal with the backlog of people looking to come on in and suck at the public teat. Now, here's the 20% of the truth in this one, folks. First, he correctly said that a wall isn't enough to fix this. Quote, no matter how high the wall will be built, no matter how many agents you put at the border, they'll keep coming because they want to get caught. And except for at least some of the terror cells, that's absolutely right. And he's right on this score, too. Said Graham, the word is out on the street in Central America that if you bring a minor child with you, your chance of being deported goes to almost zero. Your hearing date is years away, and we release you inside the country. And that's the goal of coming, unquote, and that last part is where the big whopping lie is. No, folks, that's only a tiny part of the goal. Notwithstanding the small but no doubt significant percentage that are intent on terror, mayhem, and destruction, here's where Grant transitions into whopper land, saying if we do these four things in his bill, then the incentive created by our laws will cease to exist.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And this humanitarian crisis will begin to repair itself, unquote. And what a crock of BS. The incentive is a socialist state, where once you get across the border, everything you ever wanted, or at least that's what they're being told, is yours for free forever. And not only that, for your kids, and yeah, your mangy little dog, Toto, too. The incentive is the socialist safety net. Note, neither of the two wings of that same evil bird of prey are even remotely talking about this. And the president may have alluded to it, but he's sure as heck not following through on it anymore. The problem will not stop, folks, and everybody there knows it, even if they won't say it, until people that come north illegally and manage to get into the United States are told, hey, even if we let you stay, you're never ever going to get a dime from the public till. Well, then why bother coming? Those who are willing to work and that are worth having should be willing to follow the law, too. And briefly, just to make that point, what's going to sound at first like a quick digression. From Breitbart, former VP and dictator wannabe Joe Biden admitted that the Second Amendment actually exists. He once read it, but he stressed during his speech in New Hampshire on Tuesday that that doesn't mean everyone is entitled to own a gun. Which kind of makes sense. After all, what the Second Amendment says is that Big Brother can't stop you from owning a gun, or even infringe on it in the slightest way, actually, if you're willing to, I don't know, buy it, for example. But what did he say? Yeah, get this. Not everyone is entitled to own a gun. No, folks, but if you can sneak across the border, you're entitled to everything else that Big Brother can provide. From public indoctrination and a college degree, to welfare, to an Obama phone, to free health care forever. And no doubt a universal basic income, too, as long as you don't think you can buy a gun with it. So ponder this. You're no longer entitled to things that were once guaranteed as your God-given rights that could not be infringed, but you are entitled to everything else that the Constitution, when we had one, once prohibited the central government from doing in the first place. No wonder the moochers are streaming like maggots to a corpse. And the fact that neither of the two wings of that same evil bird of prey, i.e. the two so-called parties in Washington, are willing to even remotely admit the problem, much less the solution, which is to shut off the gravy train before you do anything else, tells you all you need to know about why it is that they're not even remotely interested in actually stopping the invasion. Because, of course, the intent was to destroy what's left of the Constitution all along. Quick related story, we knew this was going to happen. Deming, New Mexico, city of about 15,000 and growing, but mostly now illegal, about 35 miles north of the border, declared a state of emergency after a whole bunch of migrants were dumped into that town by federal authorities. Why? Because they hope it will, quote, trigger assistance from both the federal government and the state. Here's a quick two-part, two-Facebook, fascist-style censorship update, starting with Facebook's interference in the Italian elections coming up. Zerohead says they've banned 23 major Italian pro-populist pages with a combined 2.5 million followers just 2 weeks before the European elections. According to the Italian site La Stampa, the majority of the bans were for supporters of the current coalition government. Among them, La Lega, the League, headed by Interior Minister Matteo Salvini. The European Ministry of Truth doesn't seem to like him at all. The five-star movement, M5S, led by the Deputy Prime Minister. And the problem is that polls have revealed massive support for a party that Two Facebook evidently doesn't want people to hear about. They, of course, claim the sites were spreading fake news, hate speech, and divisive content, which they alone get to define, about immigrants, you ready for this, vaccines, and, of course, Jews, after a left-wing so-called human rights and environmentalist non-government organization, or NGO, issued a report on what they called inauthentic behavior over Italian Facebook networks. Said a spokeslayer for Two Facebook, "We're committed to protecting the integrity of the EU elections and around the world."
That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yes, they continued, not ashamed. "We have removed a series of false and duplicate accounts that violated our policies on the subject of authenticity." And they went on to say, "We've taken further action against pages that have repeatedly spread misinformation, and we'll take further measures if we find other so-called violations." Good grief. Very much related. A piece from Newsbusters notes that Facebook has now scrubbed criticism of the politically correct to the max Rashida Tlaib and her distortions about Palestine and what might appear, if you were allowed to hear it, to be her anti-Semitism. And in this case, it's a Democrat, former New York State Assemblyman Dove Heikind, who posted a video to Facebook about Tlaib's latest whoppers, an interview with the Skullduggery podcast, which seems apropos. Tlaib told that podcast on the 10th of May that, quote, "It was my ancestors, Palestinians, who lost their land, and some lost their lives, their livelihood, their human dignity. Their existence in some ways had been wiped out, all in the name of trying to create a safe haven for Jews." Yeah, you heard that right. Post the Holocaust, post the tragedy and horrific persecution of Jews across the world at that time. Unquote. And she was humbled by the fact that it was her ancestors that had to suffer for that to happen. Well, Heikind had evidently had enough, and on May 14th he tweeted, quote, "I put out a video yesterday to correct her distortions, and without prior warning or notice thereafter, I woke up today to discover that Facebook had removed my video. It's outrageous to think that a video that did nothing but directly quote Rashida Tlaib, along with the famous video of Hitler meeting with the Palestinian Mufti as they discussed their, quote, shared problems of the Jews, was enough to cause Facebook to censor me." Newsbusters goes on to note that a wide range of outlets, from the Atlantic on the far, far left to President Donald Trump, have all slammed Tlaib over insensitive and historically accurate comments. Those, of course, are being scrubbed from the web as we speak. And I do think it's interesting to go back to the first piece here from Zero Hedge, which notes that an Italian daily, La Repubblica, reported on May 2nd that Two Facebook had opened a war room, their terminology, in Dublin, in order to monitor the European elections full-time, with 40 teams of engineers, researchers, scientists, threat specialists, and others for each country that they want to manipulate. Yeah, I put that part in there, folks. 500 people are working on the elections while being assisted by 21 so-called fact-checkers in 14 different languages. And as Zero Hedge correctly summarizes all of that, yep, coming soon to a 2020 election near you. So we'll close with a bit of good news that the socialist media platforms don't want you to hear, but even the Daily Mail in the UK is now having to admit. John Brennan and James Clapper are now claiming they told Whoremeister James Comey not to use that Golden Showers dossier to get the eavesdropping warrant on Trump that they so desperately wanted. So yeah, the rats are starting to eat their own. Better late than never, and hopefully it'll become a feeding frenzy. And we'll get to see it. May Yahuwah bless you and yours.